Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to rise and grind right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside here, Joe Ranieri on a Monday from an action-packed weekend. But over the next 2 hours, we got a lot of time to bring you every single hot topic you need to know to get your Monday started. Joe Ranieri on this Monday. Good morning.
Always a pleasure. I'm a little bit bummed out, though. Last week we were up, bright and early. We had golf. We had a little tennis. We had a little something going on around the world. Not a whole lot going on right around now on this Monday, though.
Championships were secured. Let's get to the 7-7, the hottest topics on the sports landscape, which included the Open Championship ended with American Brian Harman punching his ticket minus 13 in the Open, his first major championship. And my goodness, was he good, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, all 5'6" of them. He was the biggest dude out there. Make no mistake about it. You know, it makes me feel better, Donnie. See what happens? Doesn't make a difference how big you are in golf. As long as you put the ball in the fairway and then put it on the green and then putt, you're going to win yourself some tournaments, even a major championship or two.
Yeah, sensation all the way through. We'll get to that in the next segment. But also, it can throw you off a little bit. Say, oh, that's Brian Harman? Well, his PGA Tour shot here where it takes a look at, maybe it was taken 5 years ago. It's got a full head of hair. Takes his hat off now, Joe. No hair there. So way to go, Brian Harman, on a championship at the Open. Zoom calls? You ever been on a Zoom call here? How about this? Trying to preserve the running back position. The superstars of the NFL at running back join on a call to try to make things better for running backs?
Well, I was wondering, did Zeke Elliott could he not connect? Was that the problem? He wasn't on the call. I'm not quite sure what the Zoom call was supposed to figure out, or I don't know if this was like a group effort, like maybe we're going to boycott. I don't know what the hell they were doing on the Zoom call, but hey, at least they all got to hang out with one another.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive what they're trying to drum up business while the NFL is like, hey, we'll pay if you mean a lot more to the game. And the running backs are saying, we do mean a lot to the game. We'll see what happens in the future. But I can almost guarantee this. The running back position is not just going to get paid because why, Joe? They want to get paid. We'll see what happens there. I'll tell you about another guy looking to get paid here. Super Bowl champion Chris Jones, not in camp. And it says the two quote-unquote camps, meaning Chris Jones' camp and the Chiefs' camp, very far apart on a new deal here, Joe.
Well, this is the final year of the, $80 million deal he signed back in 2020. So I think he's going to make just about $20 million this year. And he doesn't really want to step on the field without a new deal in place. And I don't know how they're going to have to get creative, Donnie, because they're just about dead last in cap space here are the Kansas City Chiefs. So it'll be interesting to see how long this drags out at $50,000 a day if he don't show up.
Now, how about this? Are we sure that he's not just holding out because the running back position is not paid and he wants to show solidarity?
That's a good point. It's a solid point, dude. It's a brotherhood there in the NFL. They stand for one another there.
Certainly is a brotherhood. By the way, if you didn't catch it, Lionel Messi. Hey, look, he's not going to get an anytime goal scorer. Oh, my goodness. What a disappointing opening night here for him and Inter Miami. And my goodness, a lightning bolt late in that game on a free kick. Messi just shows you why he is the best in the world.
This town is all messied out, man. You have no idea. If you are anywhere near I-95 trying to drive past Fort Lauderdale and there is an Inter Miami game going on, just stay home. Don't even bother. It is out of control, the excitement down here.
Yeah, good stuff overall. As we welcome in the radio audience here, you're watching and listening live on a Monday morning edition of the Early Line Sports Grid Network Sirius, XM Channel 159 down your right side, and Joe Ranieri here. The NBA, look, we talked about the NFL, new ownership groups coming in, buying the Washington Commanders. How about new ownership groups here, buying the Hornets here? But interesting, James Dolan goes, you know what? I don't think this is a very good deal. Who knows why? Because maybe it's just James Dolan there.
In his defense, I'm not really sure he understood what team was being sold. He thought it was the Knicks. So I can understand how James Dolan got a little bit confused there. But no, James, it was the Charlotte team, not the Knicks. It's okay. You don't have to vote against it. It was happening with or without you.
Yeah, I would love to somebody get him in front of a microphone to see exactly why he said that. Just probably something ridiculous. Oh, Michael Jordan's really good for the league. We wanted to keep him in here. Who knows? But when you're the only guy voting against something, I'm sure those answers probably aren't going to come to fruition for us. I'll tell you what, Kemba Walker, your 33-year-old, still trying to hang on in the NBA? Probably not. Overseas he goes, a one-year contract with AS Monaco.
I don't, kudos to him for playing in, it's a competitive league and, being top of mind, right? Because inevitably somebody may need his services once the season gets going here with injuries and everything else. But wasn't he just an all-star? Wasn't he just in the all-star game? And now he's in Europe. Okay, I guess.
Trying to extend that career. By the way, if you missed it on Friday night, we haven't been on the air on the early line since then. The United States 3, Vietnam 0. But I want to take this time to say, here's where my profit boost was used here, Joe Ranieri, on the Team USA to be up 2 goals at the half, which they were, and also an Alex Morgan goal in the first half. So as I watch, I was like, it might not work out in my favor. A penalty shot comes out of the high heavens, which Alex Morgan did take. And, of course, she was stopped and then stopped again on the rebound, so I did not cash that ticket. But Team USA did win. Championships we're talking about, including the Open Championship next. Brian Harmon, what a round here. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back here, hour number one. New week, new money, absolutely. But by the way, talking about new week, new money, how about Brian Harmon's account exploding by $3 million this week? Why is that? He won the Open Championship and was absolutely sensational at a minus 13 here. 6 shots clear of Jason Day, Tom Kim, Sepp Straka, and John Rahm. We have some words from Brian Harmon after the tournament ended.
Brian, you had that wonderful round on Friday, and then you had a couple of bogeys early on Saturday and again today. You showed some serious resilience. What was going through your mind, particularly today, after those two early bogeys? Because a lot of men in your situation probably would have capitulated or might have shown further weakness throughout your round, but you held firm.
After I made the second bogey yesterday, a guy, when I was passing him, he said, Harmon, you don't have the stones for this. That helped.
That was the motivation?
Yeah, that helped a lot. I think he was a... that helped. I mean, it just helped snap me back in, that I'm good enough to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go through my process, and the next shot's going to be good.
So it was a case of trying to prove any doubt was wrong?
I'm not going to give that guy anymore. I shouldn't have given him credit right there. Yeah, I just the resilience, just knowing I knew I was going to make, I figured at some point that I was going to hit bad shots. I mean, it just with the weather and the scenario, you're going to hit bad shots. And I knew that the way I responded to that would determine whether I'd be sitting here or not.
Well done. Congrats.
Thank you.
Joe, we see a lot of major championships here in golf. A lot of people get out the early leads, 3-4-5-shot leads. The weekend comes, they can't hold up. Why? Because of all of the pressure. That wasn't the case here for Harmon. 67-65, then round 369, round 4 in the rain, a 70. He was unflappable in this competition.
I don't know why we should be surprised here, given the fact that I believe the number was after yesterday, that out of the last 8 rounds that at the Open Championship with him, That was the only round he wasn't in the 60s, and he shot 70 yesterday, but he also had a ridiculous lead and didn't need to go low yesterday in order to win. Very Tiger-esque, if you will, here. Never really in doubt. Every time he got in trouble, it was just unbelievable the way he bounced back. But hey, listen, that's why he was 13 under, and I mean, this wasn't even close. Donnie, it wasn't even remotely close. And as you can tell in that interview, he got a chip on his shoulder, this guy. He's been told far too long, apparently, that you're too small, you don't hit the ball far enough. You know, he's in the bottom third when it comes to driving distance on the tour, and everyone makes a big deal of that. Yet he's still driving the ball 295, 297 yards. So it's not like he's 220 off the tee here, people. But the reality is, what a difference when you hit the ball into the fairway, then you hit the green, and oh yeah, he happens to be one of the best putters in the game right now, and that helps when you go overseas there and play in link-style golf courses.
I mean, how about the round, too? Let's just take a look, because when you sleep on the lead there, there's a lot of worries. I want to get out to a good start. I hope some of those guys don't make a big-time charge. He bogeys hole number two, then bogeys the par five, hole five. So he's plus two on the day, and all of a sudden, you're starting to see some doubt creep in from the gallery. Can guys catch him? John Rahm now within three shots. He goes out six and seven, birdie. Back nine here, Joe. Actually, bogeys hole 13. Uh-oh, coming down the stretch, going to get a little bit tougher. Birdies at 14 and 15. And again, just saying unflat. These are the things, you know, you're always going to face adversity, particularly in a championship golf tournament with a lot of rainy conditions on a tough golf course. He was fantastic. And right, he was a runaway. He wasn't protected a one or two shot lead. He was protecting Lee, going, you know what? Let me just go out and go fairway to green, two putt, get out of there. No worse case than a bogey. But he ends up with four birdies on his final round and runs away with it. And you're right. You see him sitting in the chair there. He's not a big guy. I remember back in the 1990s, Corey Pavin winning the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills. You don't have to be a monster 6'5", you know, DeChambeau plowing the golf ball 400 yards. If you just hit the ball in the right spots, you can win championships, and he certainly did that. And by the way, this wasn't one of those where we were saying to ourselves, hey, everybody looking at Harmon pre-tournament, he was 110-1 to win this tournament, Joe.
Yeah, no, he was a bomb, and even after round one, as you can see, I mean, the fact that he was 18-1, and I'll even go to say it because I bet him going into Sunday, Donnie, I couldn't believe he opened up under minus 200 to win the tournament, and that was what you could have got him yesterday, yesterday morning, and I'm saying, listen, I mean, I'm not laying $2 for anything, but in this particular case, who was going to get him? He had already, again, we're talking seven of the last eight. It might as well have been eight of the last eight. His golf game is made for link-style courses where it doesn't matter if you hit the ball 400 yards. The only thing that matters is you can find the ball. And that's exactly what he did. Every time off the tee, you knew exactly where the ball was going. He picked apart that place, and you still could have got him even yesterday at a ridiculous value under minus 200 was free money.
If you see the actual, lineup here of the final leaderboard, Jason Day, Tom Kim, Straka, Rahm, all at 7-under. Then you had Rory McIlroy and Griot at 6-under, a couple 5-unders and 4-unders. I was actually saying this at the end of Friday's, round. Boy, this would be an awesome tournament, Joe, if Brian Harmon wasn't in it, because there was going to be so much drama heading into the weekend and also on Sunday with a ton of guys lined up anywhere between 7-under to 5-under to 6-under, 4-under. You get the picture here. But Harmon was so good that even though most of us, if you didn't have a Brian Harmon ticket, and quite frankly, how many people actually had an outright Brian Harmon ticket, were you saying to yourself, boy, I wish you would fold up just so we can get some drama. The drama never came there, but also most of the drama here comes where you're placing your wagers. Did you get a top 20, a top 10? How did you fare? And how about this? One better here at the FanDuel Sportsbook placed $1,000 on Brian Harmon to win the Open Championship before the tournament won. How nice is that to wake up? Hey, I was away for the weekend. What happened? Whoa, I got $121,000 in my account. By the way, was that you, Joe? Did you place $1,000 on Brian Harmon?
No, I didn't. But I know a lot of guys that bet this on a consistent basis, and every one of them were consistent in their idea that the Harmon should not be a triple digit guy to win this tournament by any stretch. I mean, even his top 10, his top 20, his top 5, they were all undervalued. Like, we were undervaluing for his game and the way it has been leading up to this moment. And again, the guy's game is made for link-style courses. I think even people were hesitant, but he won this tournament after shooting 65 on Friday, Don. That was it. When everybody else was out there struggling, and the weather wasn't terrible Thursday, Friday, Saturday, he went out and shot 65, backed up a 67 on day one, shoots a 65, and that tournament was over heading into the weekend.
By the way, I thought there might have been some pressure put on because John Rahm shot 63 in round three. It would have been interesting to see if the weather was really nice on Sunday. But having said that, you know, it's saying like, oh, if it really was nice, maybe Rahm could shoot 63. Well, Harmon probably would have shot 65 again if the weather was really nice on Sunday. He was that dialed into his game. Let me ask you this question, too, because so many times you see championships won, a first-timer, which Brian Harmon finally winning and breaking through here in a major championship. He's had more top 10 finishes than anybody on the tour since 2017. Yes. So it's not as if this guy just came out of nowhere, like, wow, a bottom 100 guy just, you know, came up big. But also, big ramifications on making the Ryder Cup. This is one of those guys where maybe you didn't have all that much on your radar or maybe just outside it. He looks like he's ready to challenge for that and take some spots there on that team.
And it's something that he has wanted for a very long time. Didn't make the President's Cup a couple of years ago, was apparently distraught about it. This guy's about as American as as apple pie, man, and he wanted to represent the country. And you saw Zach Johnson after he won it. He was one of the first guys, the captain of the Ryder Cup team, greeting him going, welcome to the team. And, we're going to hear more from Brian Harmon before it's all said and done.
Yeah, you want to close the door on making a Ryder Cup. Go out there and win the Open Championship. That's the way to get it done. By the way, Major League Baseball, a lot of teams getting it done over the weekend here. Standings are changing. Come on back. It's the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball headlines coming out of the weekend. A lot of things have changed here. It's Joe and Don here on a Monday morning. New week, new money. Let's get after it. Let's talk about the San Diego Padres. Now, yesterday, dropped a 3-1 decision going up against the Tigers and say, okay, that doesn't help. But keep in mind the bigger picture. After struggling in Philadelphia of losing 3 of 4 games, they go to Toronto, win that series. They go to Detroit and win that series. Now coming back home against the Pittsburgh Pirates. But the question is, can they win another series? The question for me is, we're about a week away from the trade deadline here. Juan Soto's name keeps popping up here. But the question being for the Padres are, do we think we can make a run at this thing? Roughly 10 games back in the West and also 6 games out of a wild card position. Now, you might say to yourself, Joe, 6 games, you can make that up over August and September. You have to remember, it's not just winning like 6 games in a row. You got to jump like 6 teams in those 6 games to actually get into the playoffs. Are we looking at the Padres who go, you know what? Let's wait this week out and see if we can win another few series. Or is it already done where management's going, you know what, we're not re-signing Juan Soto. We're not going to lose him for anything. Let's pick up a couple prospects. We still have a very good baseball team and can still make a run. What do the Padres do after winning these back-to-back series, Joe?
I mean, you got to win the games you're supposed to win. You can't have Musgrove on the mound who goes out and, for the most part, I mean, gave up a couple of home run, you know, solo shots, nothing crazy. He only gave up 3 runs, 6 innings, 7 hits, struck. Like, you can't lose this game against Detroit. Like, and this has been the problem, Donnie, all year long with them. They're not winning the games they're supposed to win. You know, winning a series at this point, like, all right, well, we won the series. That's not going to get it done when you're 10 games out of it, Donnie, for a reason. Why is that reason? Because you have underperformed and you haven't beaten the teams and you haven't won the games you're supposed to. I mean, it's a nice step in the right direction, but as far as I'm concerned, it's a little too late with this Padres team.
I still look at that team, Joe, and they are so, so talented and still would be so talented without Juan Soto on the team. But it looks like it just hasn't worked out yet. If you have a team that powerful and healthy right now, you've had April, May, June, and the most part of July here and still well back in your division and the wild card race. I think it does make sense to move on from Soto. And again, there's no saying they can't make the playoffs without Juan Soto. They'll get a couple good prospects back. We'll see what happens in that one. Now, you brought up a key point here. winning games against teams that you're supposed to beat. That was the New York Yankees over the weekend, hammering the Royals. Three straight wins now for the Yankees. Now, technically, they're still in last place in their division, but that's how good the AL East is. They're only two games back out of the wild card. And whoa, Anthony Rizzo, welcome into the 2023 season by hitting his first home run in, I don't know, felt like decades.
Yeah, well, I mean, 4-for-4 day, I mean, that was huge because he has been absolutely abysmal over the last month or so. And it's kind of amazing, Donnie, that this is a team now, I believe they're now 18-22 without Judge, which is not great. But this is the first series sweep since when they did it against Cincinnati back in middle of May. So this has been a rough go of it for the Yankees. And we had said going into the series, right, heading into the weekend, like, you can't get right against the Royals. I don't know, you know, then stick a fork in it and it's time to move on. And they won the games they were supposed to win. And yes, 8-5 win. Kudos. Maybe this is a spark here to get Rizzo back on track, which everybody needs to pitch in because it does look like Torres might have hurt himself in this game as well.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the Yanks moving forward, but it is nice to get a few wins under wraps here, and also the trade deadline come up. We'll see if the Yankees will be active there. I'll tell you one team that's been active this entire season. It's the Cincinnati Reds. Just when you thought the season was slipping away, losers of six straight games. Yep, that's the Reds. Young pitching staff, players, you know, they can't hold up their end of the bargain the entire way through and just mash their way to a division championship. They've now won five straight games, which includes a sweep of the Arizona Diamondbacks. This team is a lot of fun to watch, but they're showing some of those growing pains where lose six, win five, the roller coaster continues. But that's good vibes now for the Reds here heading into the trade deadline where we might have said to ourselves, oh, look at that, 7-8 game losing streak. Yep, we're not going to be sellers, we're not going to be buyers. Let's let this thing work out. But now you got a nice win streak going. If they can keep it going here, that front office might be able to help them out, getting a bat or two, getting a pitcher or two. Good vibes for the Reds here. That's a big time series victory, and excuse me, series sweep over the Diamondbacks.
Well, it's nice. I mean, because it's something you needed after coming off a, you know, horrific losing streak coming out of the All-Star break. So you seem to have righted the ship a little bit. The Diamondbacks, another terrible 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. 2-7 on this road trip. Was not great for Arizona. But I'll tell you that, kudos. But it's not going to mean anything if you don't go in to Milwaukee in this series that starts tonight and you don't handle business. They are 2-8 against their division rivals here in this one so far this season. Milwaukee has owned them. So if you want to be taken seriously, you better level up here against a team in your division that has had your number, and we'll see. It should be a great couple of games here coming up.
By the way, Tom Petty had a song called Free Falling here. Why would we bring that up right now? That looks like that is your Tampa Bay Rays. An impressive series, not from the Rays, from the Orioles in a showdown of teams looking to grasp control of first place in the AL East. And was the Orioles taking 3 of 4 games, which included a 5-3 victory on Sunday. Break up the Orioles. Nobody out there can now officially say, well, still early in the season, we didn't expect a lot from the Orioles. This team is 61-38 and the best team in the AL East, even after the Tampa Bay Rays historic start. Good stuff by the O's.
So they came in the start of July. They were 6.5 games behind Tampa. They're now 2 clear. They have been absolutely rolling. 12 wins in their last 15 games, and they're doing it against pretty decent competition too as well. And they're getting it done. I mean, what else can you say? Everybody, the young guys are all contributing. The bullpen has been really, really good. And if you're Tampa, you know, Donnie, I hate to say I told you so, but that was unsustainable. That hitting that you had early in the year was unsustainable. And now the question is, are they ever going to get back to a place where they can even sniff that kind of success? I've got my doubts.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because once you lose that momentum, it's hard to get it back. Mm-hmm. But at least they didn't lose that momentum like September 15th heading towards the playoffs. Right. It's a long way to go. We'll see if they do make some changes here at the deadline. Typically not making those boom or bust moves here, just trying to fortify maybe a bullpen position. But things certainly aren't looking up in the upper direction, as we like to say, here for the Rays. Let's keep it moving. The Braves beat the Brewers on Sunday 4-2. And look at that. Take a series over the Brewers. But also, the Brewers still maintain that slight lead over the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, and late too. I mean, they won it there. It was they were looking in trouble here, and the Brewers are just proving to be a giant pain in the butt for some teams here. 10 games above 500 here, but once again, the bats bail out Atlanta here. You know, they're getting it from every part of that lineup, too, Donnie, which is what makes this team so scary. And they are, and I don't care what anybody says, they are, without a doubt, including the Dodgers, they are the best team in Major League Baseball. And that lineup is the best by far, 1-9. Good luck trying to get a hold of this Braves team.
Yeah, it's really good. You can only hold down that lineup for so long, and Ozzie Albies an eight-inning three-run blast to put them over the top here. I'll tell you a team that was looking to maybe get put over the top and say, you know what, front office, don't sell us short just yet. Well, now the front office is probably going to sell this team short. What team is that? The St. Louis Cardinals won the first game in Chicago. That nice little win streak they had evaporates by losers on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and now it's probably pretty much official. This team is going to be up for sale over the next couple days up to the deadline. All those vibes say, you know what, maybe they're turning the corner. Don't give up on it. This is still a division they can challenge. They can't challenge anything here. And big names I expect to be on the move for the St. Louis Cardinals, Joe.
Oh, well, I mean, let's not stick a fork in him just yet. I don't know if you know this, but Wainwright has just come off the old person. So, I mean, IL, and he'll be pitching tonight against Arizona. So, yeah, so then, you know, not all hope is lost when you've got a 60-year-old that's going to have to save your season and is probably going to give up 15 runs in the first three innings here tonight. I'm just saying, whatever Cardinal jersey you may own recently that you just got, you may want to start investing in maybe something towards the future, because half of these guys aren't going to be here in another week or so.
Maybe they bring back Yachty, maybe Pujols, get the band back together. Yeah. Maybe Matt Holliday could be available for a couple at bats here, but a 7-2 loss there. The air certainly out of the bag there for the Cardinals. How about the Dodgers? Now, the Dodgers do pick up a series victory against the Rangers, but my goodness, you're looking to do even more damage on Sunday. A grand slam in the first inning to take a 4-0 lead. The final score, 8-4. Oh, yeah, the Dodgers won 8-4. No. The Dodgers lost 8-4. Nice comeback there for the Rangers on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and they obviously Seager was hurt, I think, in game one there. So it was, they didn't have all of their guys, but that was a game they needed to have. And, I mean, 4-0, it was, like you said, 4-0 top of the first, but by the time you finished the second, Texas was up 5-4. So that's, Texas has got to win with that formula. Is that sustainable, Donnie, is my question.
I mean, look, that's a really good team. And again, we still are on that precipice of, let's see what happens this week in the trade deadline. Which teams are going to fortify, the front line starting pitching, getting an extra bat. We'll see if that happens. The Rangers are an exciting team, but then again, so are the Dodgers. And those two teams probably bidding on the same players here at the trade deadline. We'll see how that factors in. Also, keep in mind, the NFL. We're a week away from August right now. Training camps in full effect. Most teams, full training camps by tomorrow. Let's talk about it right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's talk some NFL action. Well, apparently not a ton of action on the field just yet, but it is nice to see those clips and everybody, I guess, anointing the New York Jets world champions already because of a few completed passes here from Aaron Rodgers to Garrett Wilson, and away we go. But there's bigger news out here, Joe Ranieri. Apparently, the running backs have banded together and say, not on our time are you going to do away with our position here. So I don't know where this actually came about, but it's interesting that one position group is banding together. And on Saturday, there was a Zoom call to discuss their declining market. We're talking about the NFL running backs here. On this call, Joe Ranieri, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Tony Pollard, Nick Chubb, Najee Harris, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, and J.K. Dobbins. Some of the biggest backs in the game. Now, if I were to allow you, or hopefully, Joe, you might have been involved on this phone call, how did this actually go? Like, okay, everybody here, all right, let's get the meeting started. Please tell me how this meeting actually went.
Hey, man, are you happy with how much you're getting paid? No, man. Oh, that stinks, man. That really. How about you? No. Oh, anything we can do about it? No? Okay. Listen, good talking to you guys. Let's do this again real soon, because absolutely nothing could come from this because they have no leverage. And I don't know if they needed to reiterate that themselves, but the reality is this is not something that just happened. It's been happening since, about 6, 7, 8 years ago. I mean, even Joe Mixon had to restructure his contract to take less money here. They're always going to devalue the RB spot, Donnie. And why is that? Well, if you were worth it, if they couldn't replace you with a practice player, if they felt as if you were a commodity that was irreplaceable, we wouldn't be having this conversation. The reality is that's exactly what you are in this NFL, where quarterbacks, wide receivers, everybody matters except you, because you can be replaced. Plus, you have the shortest shelf life, Donnie. I mean, none of that has changed. Am I missing something?
No, you're not missing anything at this point. The evolution of the game is changing, which, again, back in the day, the premier position was running back. That's no longer the case for anymore. You win with quarterbacks. You win with a passing game. This doesn't surprise anybody. And by the way, on that Zoom call, was everybody just yelling at Christian McCaffrey saying, like, why are you even here? Like, you got a monster.
Why was he on it?
Did he show his paycheck? Like, he's like, hey, guys, if you're really good, you can achieve this along with me here. Look at my payday. I mean, Derrick Henry's had multiple paydays. It's interesting the approach we're taking. Now, Nick Chubb was basically saying, like everybody else, there's not really too much we can do. And there was a tweet that came out from Pro Football Talk, but their suggestion was no running backs participate next year in the offseason program, which NFL GMs would go, okay, well, we'll just throw the football all over the place. But we know in the NFL, here's why people say, like always, you got to stick together. You got to sell out. You know, you got to take one for the team. Yeah. NFL players' lifespans, Joe, are so short. They can't be like baseball. They go, hey, I broke in at 21. I could play till I'm 35 as a DH or a first baseman or an outfielder. You can't do that in the NFL. One season throwing it away is basically 25% of a really good NFL player's career of being 4 years. You can't afford to do it. Now, granted, there will be running backs are always going to be needed. We understand that. But getting back to, hey, Joe, let's start the game double tight end sets and give Nick Chubb 37 carries a game and we'll pay him accordingly. That doesn't work anymore in the NFL. The evolution of the game will be, hey, if I'm a high school running back, I want to make some money. No, when I go to college, I'm going to be a wide receiver. I'm going to be a defensive back. I'm going to turn into a linebacker. That's what's going to happen here. But it's interesting to me to see the woe is me attitude, not from the running backs themselves, but a lot of people in the media going like, yeah, we have to take care of the situation. In what market are NFL GMs going to, you know what, this isn't fair. Quarterbacks, can we ask you to take a significant pay cut so we can just have a separate salary cap for the running back position? Did anybody do this, Joe Ranieri, for fullbacks? What happened to fullbacks? Every team had multiple fullbacks. Now you're lucky to find three teams in the NFL, feels like, with a fullback.
Well, I get the idea that you're certainly stronger together than you are individually, right? I mean, I think that's fair, right? So, you know, Eckler understands that, you know, collectively as a group, we have more power. If we remain unified in sticking together and being like, this is ridiculous, maybe, just maybe, we can get some better compensation out of it. But they need the help of the players. There's a lot of things that that they need to happen. But the idea, and I think Nick Chubb nailed it, and I'm so glad to see somebody at the voice of reason going, listen, we're stuck. You know, this is not really, this wasn't created by us, this group here. This happened, you know, almost a decade ago, this was beginning to happen. It needed to be addressed then, not now, because quite honestly, there's not a whole heck of a lot that can be done. But, you know, Christian McCaffrey, outlier, you know, Derrick Henry, you know, the argument made Chubb means more to Cleveland than, I don't know, Amari Cooper or, you know, pick. But some of these guys that were on this call, like, yeesh. Listen, if really, if you went away tomorrow, do you think, you know, what's their wins above replacement, Donnie? Like, what is Austin Eckler's win? Like, be quiet. Like, sit down, go away. Christian McCaffrey is one thing. Derrick Henry, one thing. The rest of those guys? Yeah, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Getting a new skill, unless they can figure out a new skill collectively, I'm not quite sure how they're going to make any more money.
Like, just go back, let's just say a decade, right, in the Super Bowl championships. Mm-hmm. Look at the quarterbacks that have won those Super Bowl championships, and look at their starting tailbacks who have won those championships. And you tell me who led that team to the championship here and who would be expendable. And, oh, yeah, we could just get a sixth or seventh round rookie out here who can start in the Super Bowl as long as we have a Patrick Mahomes. Now, if you're talking about the Chiefs and getting guys paid, well, Chris Jones, one of the better players in the National Football League, not a running back and a defensive tackle, which is a premium position, far apart here. Now, this is one of those deals where you see a running back like, hey, we're far apart. Yeah, good luck. You're probably going to sit this one out. I would expect Chris Jones to come into camp with a new deal, but it is a little bit alarming. As you brought up, it's not as if a lot of NFL teams at this stage of the season are flush with cap space. They've already made their free agent signings. They've accounted for their rookies and also now saying, okay, who can we pick up, which maybe we can extend or move some money around? Chris Jones basically wants that contract taken away and a massive new deal done. Do we see any trouble on the horizon here with Chris Jones and also the Chiefs?
Well, I mean, he's 29, right? So he is, you know, he's finishing that deal already that he got, that first one, at a big price, what, $80 million, right? So he's still $19.5 million plus incentives, $20 million plus. He's going to be on tag. Now, I don't blame him, you know, for wanting to, hey, let's settle this before I hit the field here and knock on wood, something ridiculous happens, you know? So I don't blame him for trying to get paid here. But again, at this point, there's not a whole lot of cap space here for them. They are, they've got an awful lot of money, I believe, tied up in a guy. What's his name? Oh, yeah, Mahomes. They've got an awful lot of money tied up with him right now. And this was always going to be the byproduct of giving Mahomes that amount of money, right? At some point, you were not going to have enough to be able to get a guy like Chris Jones locked up. How many years does he have left? I mean, prime years. He's 29. We're going to have, what, at least two, three more years here, right? I'd give him 32. Is he Aaron Donald? Is he, you know, and he's watching Jeffrey Simmons, Aaron Donald, Hargrove. You know, he's watching Quinnen Williams. All of these dudes just signed these monster deals over the offseason, and Chris Jones is like, hello, I got the rings. I've been defensive player. Yeah, like what, you know, what else do I have to do? I don't blame him, but there's only so much money to go around when you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback.
And by the way, the Chiefs better watch out here that Patrick Mahomes here, Joe, doesn't be like, hey, you know what? I'm looking at my average year value here, and I think I want a new deal. Now, Chris Jones would be upset about that because, okay, hey, we signed you to a $500 million contract. Let's see if we can extend you at even more money. The Chiefs probably would be happy to do that. By the way, Andy Reid saying he's a little bit surprised Chris Jones didn't report. He's been around the league long enough to be not surprised with star players wanting more money and not showing up to day one or two of training camp here. But also, Kadarius Toney injured. Newsflash, Kadarius Toney is always injured. If you go back to his Giants days, I remember when they were just showing up to like rookie OTAs, and they're like, well, why isn't Kadarius Toney practicing? He has a problem with his cleats and his, you know, can't fit into him, so he can't run routes. This is not like on the field, unbelievably talented. But the question always, Joe, is can you actually get him on the field?
It's always been a problem, but that's an even bigger problem now for Kansas City, because you lost Juju Smith-Schuster, you lost McCole Hardman, so Kadarius Toney was supposed Right. I mean, this is the guy that was supposed to elevate and be the number one, because Marquez Valdes-Scantling isn't doing it. Sky Moore isn't doing it. Rashee Rice is not doing it. So, I mean, granted, and I'm always a big believer of the quarterback makes the receiver doesn't make the quarterback, and Mahomes can make anybody look good. But at some point, you know, outside of your tight end there and Kelsey, you got to have somebody you can rely on. They've had that in this stretch. I don't know that Tony is going to be that guy there or going to be able to rely on. Very talented. No arguing there, Donnie. But is he available? Yeah, availability is the biggest problem.
Exactly. The problem with last year is like, okay, whatever he gives us is a bonus. Now it's like, well, you better perform because we don't have that just bonus luxury different anymore. And just getting started basically in the first practice of the season, tweaking a knee on a kick return, certainly doesn't hold out a ton of hope that he's going to be healthy all the way through. Let's take a look at Jimmy Garoppolo here. Now, here's where I love the Raiders, right? You have a quarterback in Derek Carr. And they say, okay, well, maybe he's not a franchise guy. Let's move him. Second round pick, first round pick, multiple ones, multiple twos. You got absolutely nothing for him. So then you go out and go, you know what? We're going to make this move right here by bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo. So you're ready to have a press conference and introduce Jimmy Garoppolo. And all of a sudden the owner gets a whisper in his ear. Hey, by the way, Jimmy Garoppolo's foot is all messed up here. Oh, yeah, what's wrong? Well, he might not be ready to start the season here. They take away all his bonuses, which basically meant if they cut Jimmy Garoppolo, they don't owe him anything. I don't know what the Raiders are doing, but Jimmy Garoppolo has actually been cleared here and will not be placed on the PUP list. Thank goodness, I guess, for the Raiders, but no idea what they did this offseason. And this move that we laughed at least I laughed at, I don't see how it's getting any better. I mean, the guy's going to get back on the field. The guy's always injured. Injuries stay injured, maybe?
Unless you can keep him upright, I don't know what's happening yet. Now, the good news is, if you're a Raiders fan, is that apparently he did pass that physical yesterday. So, and by doing so, that means he's going to be ready for camp, which is also huge because you need, he's got a whole lot of new wide receivers, a lot of new dudes catching passes here for the Raiders. And to have him there to help build that rapport heading into the season is huge, to say the least. So it's at least a step in the right direction until, of course, you know, week two when he gets hammered and he's out for another 7 weeks. Then the Raiders are going to be like, what did we do?
Let's go to 2024 real quick with the Raiders. Let me ask you this quick question. Josh McDaniels, will he be on the sideline week one, 2024, game one?
Yes. One more he'll Ooh. Have. I think he'll have one more. Yeah, go. He'll have one more.
Al Davis.
One more.
Al, or the, you know, a Davis member family saying, you know what? We're going to keep around for a few more years. Same guy that signed John Gruden to a 10-year deal. What do you make it? Three and a half years into that deal? Tough season for the Raiders coming up here for Mark Davis and the crew. We'll see. But how about this? Messy goal score? Yeah, it was big time. We'll talk about it next. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Drive Pink Stadium was locked and loaded on Friday night, 21,000 strong, to witness at least Lionel Messi getting into the game, which he entered in the 54th minute, ended up scoring a goal in that game, and superstars LeBron James, Serena Williams, Gloria Estefan, and Kim Kardashian all in attendance. And they saw Messi do what he does best, a ridiculous free kick goal to give Inter Miami the victory. I don't think you could have scripted a better start in Miami for the Messi era.
Let's face it. The game was out of control. It was, you could not have scripted anything better. It was Hollywood-esque. The place went crazy. The hype around this guy coming to town has been just over the top, and that place has never seen that many people in and around it for a debut of anything like that. You know, they've got a new stadium coming, but this one is not even in Miami, Donnie. It's in Fort Lauderdale, in a stadium that was never really built with the idea of getting a Ronaldo or a Messi or somebody like that to come and play at it. So, yes, I do believe they'll be having plans and money for a very new stadium very shortly here in Miami.
By the way, Joe, give me the look on this. What would have happened on Friday night if Messi was in uniform but never actually played in the game? Would there have been a different atmosphere around the 90th minute?
Yes, it would have. But there was the way that game rolled out, there was no way. There was just absolutely no way. And that bought you enough goodwill here for at least 6 months, that one game right there.
By the way, congratulations to those on the FanDuel Sportsbook that took control, or took advantage, I should say, of the soccer odds boost. Messi anytime goal scorer plus 250 price cashes in late. Better late than never, as we like to say. Interesting times there for Inter Miami for the rest of the MLS season. We'll certainly be following that all the way through. There's another big soccer tournament going on right now. I believe it's the Women's World Cup, which the U.S. women's had a 3-0 victory. Let's break down what happened over the weekend, and also maybe who wins a golden boot, who's going to shine for the U.S. It's all coming up next in hour number two. Stay tuned.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.